Welcome to the underground, a place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground, a place to get into the word of God so the word of God can get into you. This is where your repentance starts, where revival begins. And who am I? I'm just the voice of one calling out saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Welcome to the underground. Hey, if you can hear me, give me a thumbs up real quick. Before I get started, I just want to make sure y'all hear me real good. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Okay, great, great. All right, what's up? So I see we got some newcomers. Okay, let me let you know what go down up in here in the underground. Basically, it's just a place where you get the word of God, you get fed it. All you got to come in and sit back, chill, relax, and just listen to the word. You know, because I know most of us go to church on Sundays, but every once in a while through weekday, we may get a little busy and we need to refill ourselves with the word of God again. You know what I mean? So that's why we're here today, to refill ourselves. Make sure we get enough substance in us so we can keep walking this walk of faith. So I appreciate everybody for coming out. I appreciate for everybody that I know. Everybody who I don't know who listen to the underground, I appreciate the love and support. All I ask is that you just keep passing along. Who am I? Again, I tell you, I ain't nobody but the voice. I don't have a name and I don't have a face. I just have the word of God saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hey, before we do get started, I do want to share some verses with you so I can lay the foundation to what we're going to be doing tonight. I always like to lay the foundation, speak on the word of God, so you guys can understand. Isaiah 61. These are certain verses. If you want to write them down, check them out later on while you in your quiet time or laying up in your bed. These are some verses you can go over. Isaiah 61 and verse 1, it said, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has anointed the believer to bring the good news to the poor. When we talk about poor in this particular scripture, it's just not talking about finances and money and wealth. We're talking about poor in the spirit. There's a lot of people out here who's going bankrupt when it comes to the spiritual things of life. And God has called you. God has delivered you. God has saved you and put the good news inside of your heart, so you can go share it with the person at your school, share it at the person with that you go to work with, share it with your family member, share it with your mom, share it with your dad, because he's anointed you to do that. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. There may be people in your circle, people in your community, people, your friends, people who are close to you, people in your family that's suffering from a broken heart, from a loss in their life, from a death, a loss of job, sickness, broken relationships. The good news can comfort them. And you got to believe that. This is why it's important for you to always be studying and make sure every single time you get an opportunity to, man, you open up the word of God and begin to learn it. Because you can't deliver it if you don't know it. You can't deliver the good news if it's not in you. If you want to become a messenger, you got to make sure you know the message. If you want to become a messenger, you got to make sure you live in the message. Do you understand? Because that's, again, what breaks the yoke. That's what gives you the authority. Continuing on in Isaiah 61 in verses 1 through 4, it says, and to proclaim that captives will be released. You have to walk a life that's freed from the sins and bondages of this world in order to preach to captives so they can be free. When they see your life, do they see that you are free from the things that they entangle with? If not, your message will be null and void. Your message that you are preaching to the masses doesn't show no fruit in your life, my brothers and sisters. This is why it's important to ask God to set you free from the bondages that you're in. And I don't care how old you are, God can do it. God can do it. You have to believe that. And prisoners will be free. This is not just talking about physical people locked up in the physical jail. There's more people in prison outside of jail than I know of people inside. You in prison of your mind. You in prison of food. You in prison of lust. You in prison of greed. You in prison for lust for power, lust for attention. You're locked up behind bars when it comes to the lust of this world. You doing a whole bunch of time serving sin. See, I always tell people, it's not that God is not talking to you, my brothers and sisters. It's that the volume of sin is so high in your life, it's so turned up in your life, you can't hear the voice of God. If you want to really start hearing the voice of God in your life, turn down the noise, turn down the sin that's in your life. And you'll begin to hear that sweet voice that begin to direct you on the path to righteousness, direct you on the path of holiness. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, especially to my young people in here who's going to be listening. Holiness is still the main goal for God's people. Holiness. Okay? Repentance and holiness. These are the foundations of walking with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you guys to start studying out that word, my young people. I don't want you to get to a point in your life and you start looking at holiness as something that you don't need to do. It will begin to strip you of your destiny when you start to think like that. The things of God as something that's common. He has sent me to those who mourn to tell them that the time of the Lord's favor hath come. You have to be walking with God to know that the time of the Lord's favor has come. If you're too busy tied up in this world, you'll miss the opportunity to receive God's favor over your life. You'll miss these opportunities. You'll miss these seasons. And I don't want that to be you. So it's key for you to walk closely to God during these times. All right? All right. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This is why it's important for you guys. If I was you, man, I'd get in a tight relationship with Jesus, man. He already knows your thoughts. He already knows your weakness. He already knows your strengths. Confess those things to him. Start becoming best friends with the Savior during these times. We in a key moment of our walk. And I'm saying that for every believer, we are in a key moment of our walk. Because the Spirit of God is moving right now. And if you don't get in tune with what God is doing and what he wants to do in this nation, you'll miss it and you can become hardened for the next couple of years. This is what I'm starting to hear from this. Hearken not unto the voice of God the day that I call you. There's people around you right now, people in your family, people at your school, people at your job, just ignoring the voice of God, ignoring the call of God. Because we think we're too busy. Listen to the voice of God right now. He's the only voice that has your best interests.
The perfect will, he has that for your life. Do you understand that, my brothers and sisters? The voice of God will guide you to the perfect will that he has shaped out for your life. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Before you was even born, God has separated you from every single body that's around you right now. So why are you living a life that's not consecrated from the people around you? That's what God is calling you to do. Consecrate yourself. Separate yourself. Set yourself apart. You are not another common person. You're not another common man. You're not another common teenager. You're not another common individual. You have the Spirit of God living inside of you. Let that sink in real quick. Welcome to the underground, a place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground. Who am I? I'm just the voice of one calling out saying, repent. You know the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hey, when you come in, do me a favor. Please put your mic on mute because we're recording live. And these sessions go out all over the world. I want to make sure everybody hears the word of God very clearly. Very clearly. I give people no excuse. Yeah. God created me and put me in a time just as this to give the people no excuse. When they be before God, they're going to they have no excuse. They're going to know that, hey, I did hear the word of God. Yeah, there was a voice down there in the wilderness of America, and he did tell us about the word of God. So no excuses. That's my calling. That's my passion. But I was trying to get you guys to understand that you have the Spirit of the living God living inside of you. And I wanted you to ponder on that. Because if you understood that, you wouldn't even think the way you think about yourself. Defeat will start to exit your vocabulary. Lack will start to exit your vocabulary. It's very important that you start to become more aware of what's living inside of you. What's living inside of you? Not aware of self. We already know self. Do you understand me? The heart is deceitfully wicked above all, who can know it? So we already know about self. There's nothing new up under the sun. Okay? There's not a hairdo that we're not going to never see or haven't seen already. There's not a haircut that we haven't seen or we not going to see already. There's not going to be a song that we haven't already kind of heard already. There's not going to be another preacher who we haven't seen or heard already. There's not going to be another worship group that we haven't seen or heard already. Ain't nothing new up under the sun. Okay? So what I think what we need to start doing in our society, in our generation, in our culture of believers, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, right? You have to start being aware of what's living inside of you. Because you wouldn't even talk the way you talk if you understood what's living inside of you. You wouldn't even doubt the way you doubt. Now, do we have our days? Yes, absolutely. I believe that. But having a consistent lifestyle of a thinking process, nah. I need you to understand what's living inside you, my brothers and sisters. You're not common. You're not supposed to be ordinary. When you go to any location, when you head to any destination, you are supposed to be consecrated and separated from the norm. I'm asking you right now. I want to pierce your heart with a question. What separates you from your friends right now? What makes people say when you talk, they need to listen? And if it's and if you honest with yourself and say, well, I don't think people really listen to me, that means you need to fall on your face and start asking God to deliver you from common lifestyles, common thinking, common relationships with people, common goals. Your goals are a little bit too low for God. That's for somebody. I don't know who that's for, but I'm gonna let that was just for somebody. God said, your goals are too low. You have goals just like everybody else. You want what the world want. You're not asking me for different things, God say. You asking me things that the sinner ask. So what makes you different? And we already know what he says about a sinner prayers, right? Say he's angry with them every day. I know people don't want to talk about that, but it's in his word. His face is turned. Only thing God wants to hear from a sinner is repent. Do you hear me, my brothers and sisters? You have been consecrated. Everyone at the under the sound of my voice who's listening on the underground, you're here because you've been consecrated, and I'm here to tell you that. And I'm here to call you up to a lifestyle that you've been living below. You've been living in a recession of consecration. Yeah, you've been living in a recession for too long. That's been a famine in your spiritual walk, and I'm here to feed you. You need to start filling up on the word of God because there's a famine in the land, my brothers and sisters, of the word of God. The true word of God will not be televised anymore like it used to. It will not be on Instagram anymore. It's not going to be on Facebook anymore. No, you're going to have to start searching for the word of God. Now, let's that was just a little I was just wanted to, a little appetizer for you guys. I'm gonna go to Proverbs 4 real quick. Somebody gave me this verse this week and it really blessed my soul, and so I thought I'd talk about it for a little bit, and hopefully it blesses y'all. Okay, I hope y'all all right. Appreciate everybody coming out to the underground place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground. Who am I? I ain't nobody. Yeah, I know I'm just the voice of one calling out saying repent. In Proverbs chapter 4, it says, hear ye children the instructions of a father and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. God say, I give you good teaching. I give you good word. I give you word that will sustain your soul, that will grow you up, that will mature you in every season of life. That's what my word would do. And if we really believe that, we wouldn't go a day without putting our nose into his word. The word of God will grow you up and mature you for the season that you're dealing with right now. The season that you're in right now is not supposed to be defeating you. You're supposed to be walking, having dominion over the season that you're in. But because you haven't been filled up with the word of God, because you have forsaken the word of God, you're struggling. You're drained. You're tired. You know why? Because there's a famine in your land. There's a famine, not of food, not of water, as Amos tells us,
but of the word of God. Forsake not the word of God, he tells us. There's some things that we do every day, my brothers and sisters, that we do not forsake. Everybody in here I know kind of personally, and I've seen you guys. All you guys are beautiful people of God. So I know you guys don't forsake certain things like brushing your teeth. I know you guys don't forsake certain things like putting on deodorant. I know you guys don't forsake certain things like washing your face or taking a bath every day, because that's very important to you. It becomes second nature to you. And you feel disgusting if you don't do it. Your soul should start feeling disgusted if you don't read the word of God. That's what's going to start to separate you. Do you understand me? That it becomes an abomination to you to not to be in the word of God every day. It disgusts you. That's what begins to separate you. And that's what begins to make your words be uncommon. See, because when you start to eat on the word of God every single day, then you begin to get filled with the word of God. See, I can tell what you've been listening to when I have a conversation with you. I can tell what people surrounds your life by the way you talk. I can tell what's inside of your soul by what's coming out of your mouth. You got to start magnifying God in your life. Let God swell up inside of you. So when he swell up inside of you, when he release, when God begins to release, that's what people begins to get. They begin to get the kingdom of heaven. See, you are a walking embodiment of the kingdom of heaven. That's why I'm trying to get you to understand you're not common. You have the kingdom of heaven inside of you, and you're walking around with that inside of you. And it only comes out every once in a while. But that debit card come out every day. Instagram come out every day. Facebook coming out every day. That phone coming out every day. So why is the kingdom of God coming out every once in a while, my brothers and sisters? Nah, we can't do that. We can't do that to God. Not the God who woke us up this morning. Not the God who allows you to, you know, come on the underground and hear the word of God. See, it's a blessed thing to hear the word of God. You know, we live in a generation now. They decide if they want to come or if they want to hear the word, or if they want to. It's like you want to go to church? We got options. It's like that's how comfortable we are. That's how we have a false security in our jobs, in our apartments, in our looks, in our bank accounts, in our 401k. We have a security in these things. So we're able to have options when it comes to God right now. We're able to say yes or no. We're able to say, not tonight. I'm kind of busy. Do you see the arrogance of the human? Do you understand me? Check out what I'm saying. The God who created the heavens and earth, right? The God who separated the waters from the land, right? The God who created the stars, the moon, the sun. The God who footstool is the world that we're living in. Let that sink in. Now God is flexing. He says, the world that you live in, that's my footstool. It's in the word if you don't believe me. Go to Google and put in verse footstool and it'll show you if you think I'm just up here talking. We tell that God, not right now. I'm trying to get my, once I get my life together, then I give God some time. That's how we talk to him. And if that's not you who talking to him, I guarantee you know people around you that's talking to him like that. I want you guys to start to get an understanding. And all that getting, you're about to get an understanding of why you do the things that you do tonight. Wow, check this out. It says, and we're still in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 3. You see how we just on two verses? And we just, look how much God then gave us off two verses. This is what I'm trying to tell you. The food that God has for you can fill you up. It'll fill you up so full you might only have to go back for seconds. You'll have to take some home. You have to take leftovers home. And guess what? It can sustain you for eternity. God has the type of food that it don't get stale. God has the type of food that it don't get moldy. God has the type of food that it don't get old. Some of y'all been eating on McDonald's spiritual food for too long. It ain't sustaining you no more. You been getting fast food, spiritual food. What you mean by fast food? You go on Instagram and Facebook and they just tell you, tap, tap, if you believe in Jesus, you just tap it and that's your spiritual food. Or you go on Instagram and Facebook and you see one verse, they who wait on the Lord should renew their strength, and you just tap, tap, and love, and you be like, oop, there go my food for the day. Look here, devil, that's a lie. You gonna have to chew on the word of God now. I'm trying to tell you, the cost of following God has risen. See, you thought that it was just milk that was rising. You thought it was gas prices that was just going up. No, everything that's happened in the flesh is happening in the spirit too. The cost of following God is going to get higher and higher and higher. And I hope you're ready to pay. You can't be cheap and follow God. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm talking to you in the spirit now. Understand, those who have ears, please let them hear. You cannot be cheap and follow God. You gonna have to be ready to pay the cost. I know you can pay the cost because I seen the bag that you had. I know you can pay the cost because I seen the shoes you had on. Those were some very expensive shoes you had on, sister. Those were some very expensive shoes you had on, brother. I seen your new hairstyle. Those are very expensive hair locks that you got there, sister. Mm-hmm. So I know you know how to pay for expensive things. So when it comes to God, why do you want him on a food stamp plan? Why do you want to have a welfare spiritual walk with God? We want God for cheap. We want to get God at Goodwill or at the Salvation Army. That's what we want to get God at. But everything else, we want to go to the Galleria and get. God say, I'm not doing it no more. Touch somebody and say, God say, he ain't doing it no more. Mm-hmm. Touch your neighbor and say, God ain't doing it no more. Okay, verse 3. Follow me. Follow me. We just chilling. I told y'all, y'all can just sit back and relax. You know how you go to the movies and it's a big screen and you put the seat back and you got some popcorn and go ahead and do that and just watch the word of God on the big screen. I'm going to take you to the beginning, to the middle, and it's going to have a heck of an ending. So just sit back in your chair and just listen to the word of God. Let the word of God bless you. Let the word of God cleanse you. Proverbs 4 and verse 3, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Verse 4, he taught me also and said unto me, let thy heart retain my words. Do you hear what he's saying? Your heart got to be falling in love with the words of God. Oh man, I say your heart, not just your ears. Yo, you can see everyone listening right now. Well, I hope y'all, you know, because we know how to train ourselves to listen but not listen. Let me say that again. We have trained ourselves to listen but not listen. If you ever want to find out somebody listening, through mid conversation, ask a question. I just gave you some. If you ever want to know if they really listen, through mid conversation, ask a question. And they were you weren't listening. So we have got good with training ourselves to listen. Let me give you an example. Here are some quality listening tips or training tips that people use to show you that they're listening but not listening. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. What? For real? Man, that's crazy. Dang. Uh-huh. Oh, snap. That's crazy. You see, words like that mean they trained. They already know how to just say uh-huh at the right time. And they know how to look at you at the right time. They know how to nod their head at the right time. You see what I'm saying? God say, don't do that to my word. Don't do that while the preaching of the word is being proclaimed. Don't do that. God say, just get out the church, log off, or go on about your business, but don't ignore my word. I'm just trying to be honest with y'all. Don't get into a habit of ignoring God's word. But do you understand why we ignore God's word or the word of God is not tasteful for us? Again, when you have been addicted to sugar, when you have been addicted to sweets, for so long, and cupcakes and Debbie cakes and brownies and honey buns and Starburst and Skittles and Snickers and Reese's. When you have become addicted to these things, when vegetables come to your mouth, when solid food comes to your mouth, food that will help your bones become stronger, food that will help your muscles become stronger, food that will help you live longer, you start moving your face like a little baby. You start whining when food, real food, come to your mouth. You start to say, that ain't, I don't like that. It's too salty. But the Bible says you should be salt of the earth. Mm-hmm. Your life is supposed to be salty. You've been sad because people acting salty towards you. Well, it's because you salty. You are the salt of the earth. They supposed to get a look in their mouth when they experience you, when they talk to you, when they're around you. It should be salty. Whew. I don't know if somebody got that. I say you should be salty. You should be a foreign taste to people around you. Do you hear me, my brothers and sisters? You should be a foreign taste. The word of God makes you foreign. Exactly. Sprinkle, sprinkle. That's what I'm talking about. You are supposed to be a foreign taste to your family. When you come around, they should be like, every time I see you, you look different. Huh? When you come around, they understand they supposed to put some things up, or they can't listen to certain things, or they can't do certain things. You ever had that feeling when you come around, it seemed like the whole atmosphere shift? If you got that feeling, it's because you got salt in your walk. Touch somebody and say, I got salt in my walk. I got some salt in my walk. I got some salt in my talk. I got some salt in my soul. God said, I'm salty. That's why you salty towards me. You're not salty because how I look. You're not salty because of my car. You're not, I don't even have my car ain't even all that. So I still don't, I understand why you hate me. I understand why you got a problem with me. It's because God has made me salty. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the salt of the earth. Okay, I'm still rolling. Oh, for those who just came in, welcome to the underground. A place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground. Who am I? I'm just the voice of one calling out saying, repent. Don't look now, but the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hey, I'm in Proverbs chapter 4. I'm at verse 4 right now. It's just talking about the word of God. So he said, let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Oh, I love the way he brought commandments and live. Keep my commandments and live. There's a relationship with keeping his commandments, and then he says you will live. Don't let people fool you, especially my young people, that they may look like they living, but if they disobeying the word of God, they dying. They dying a slow death. They on death row, and the only way they can get off this spiritual death row is if they repent. I don't care how many likes they got. I don't care how many hearts they got. I don't care how many vacations they take. And I don't care how many people be in their comment sessions giving them praise and worship service. If they don't repent, they are spiritually dying day by day. In order to live, you have to obey the commandments of God. How you go live without the life giver? Oh my God. How are you saying you have life without life, without the person who gave life? You see, we have gotten so smart that even the things that we say, we just saying stuff to sound deep. I am convinced this is the generation that you are going to be so deep that you go drown. You go be so deep. This generation, you're so deep. You're so wise. You know all the stars. You know the moon. You know all the trees. You know all the scientific. I don't even know how to say this stuff people be talking about these days. If it ain't the word, I can't even explain certain things. See, one thing about your boy, the voice. When I was in high school, and I got some of my homeboys on here, they'll tell you. Very low GPA. I just couldn't understand certain things. You know? I couldn't, my mind. I don't know. Just God never gave me a mind to become so wise. I'm being honest. My wife talking about stop. I'm trying to be honest with you. But what he did give me. That's what I'm trying to get you. I'm not ashamed to say I'm weak in certain areas because there's one area God gave me. When I hear his word, I know how to be, I just know how to say, oh, okay. I know how to change and say, I'm going to be obedient to that. I may not understand algebra. I can't tell you. Matter of fact, when I type, I type, you know, very tap, tappity, tap, 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 even that. Even that, some words in the Bible can't even pronounce. But when I understand his commandments, it don't take me a second to get it. That's one thing God gave me. I'm thankful for that one thing. Everybody else can have everything else. Hey, more power to you. And I love that you got it. I'm just so thankful. I'm so serious, y'all, that God gave me a mind to understand his word and to say yes to it. I don't go back and forth with it. I don't have that, you know, it ain't that, What that mean? Cause see, the letter J wasn't even invented in 1813. You see, so I believe I don't know how to do all that. If God say stop, that's what he means, stop. If God say go, that's what he mean, go. I don't need you to break it down in Hebrew. I don't need you to break it down in Latin and all these other deep. I don't need all that. Give me a regular English version, and when it say go, I go. I'm part of the generation who know how to be obedient. Why I know? Because we used to play red light, green light. Red light, green light. See, that's an obedient generation. We knew how to red light, green light. We on the red, we knew how to stop, and on green light, we knew how to go. See, we was training in obedience. Let me keep on moving and grooving through this word. All right. And verse five. Now, this is the verse I wanted you guys to get, right? This is the verse I wanted y'all to get. This is the verse that somebody special gave me this week. Look at all the messy folks. Who are you talking about? Who's special? He would have said his wife. So who are you talking about? You know, who are you talking about? My wife gave me this verse. Okay. Get wisdom, get understanding. Okay. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she should preserve thee. Love her, and she should keep thee. And verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get an understanding. Get an understanding. This is for you guys tonight. I know it's for you guys. I mean, when I got that word, man, downloads upon downloads start coming in my mind. There'd be sometimes, y'all, I promise you, I'd be have to like just close the word of God and be like, God, wait. I don't even, let me digest this. That is what God means when he said, I will open up a window of heaven. And pour out a blessing that you won't even have room to receive. This fleshly generation have made that to be houses and cars and that ain't, listen, when we're talking about spiritual things, when God's, he's a spiritual God, you guys. So when he says, I will open up the windows of heaven, he will begin to give you wisdom. On top of that, he'll give you an understanding of the wisdom he'll give you. When you have an understanding of the wisdom that God has given you, now you can walk it out and apply it to your life. And then when you begin to walk it out and apply it to your life, you begin to become uncommon to people. You see how that thing came all the way back around. An understanding of the wisdom you get helps you walk out what you're getting. Now, let's separate what this culture does and what God wants us to do. In our culture, we just like to get wisdom. Why? I guess it just makes people feel good. People get wisdom just to debate. People get wisdom just to sound good. People get wisdom, post wisdom, just to get likes. People get wisdom just to put it on a wall and say, hey, I went to a school of wisdom. But their life is contrary to the one who gave you the wisdom. See, you can get wisdom, but you don't have an understanding to apply it. Now, let's talking about getting an understanding in your life. In your life. Do you have an understanding why you think the way you think about yourself? See, God can give you an understanding of it. He will begin to reveal to you why you think the way you think about yourself. You don't have an understanding. Do you have an understanding why you have been from relationship to relationship? We're talking about people with masters. We're talking about people who has, stocks and bonds and lands and business, but they don't even have an understanding of themselves. And you know why they don't have an understanding of themselves? Because they ignore the one who formed them in the womb, who knew them before they was even born. How you go ignore wisdom and understanding and say you have an understanding of self? You see how, see? Do you see what I mean? They sound deep, but really when you look at it, you like you sound foolish. Know thyself. That's one of these, know thyself. How can you know thyself and ignore the creator who created you? Who know it? The creator know everything. The creator know more about you than you know about yourself. So in order to know thyself, you must know that the creator. This is why when you look in the mirror, you still don't understand why you do the things that you do. This is why you spend money and you still don't understand why you spend money like you spend money. You still don't understand why you don't forgive like you don't forgive. You need to start getting an understanding. Stop trying to get an understanding of somebody else and start to ask God, give me an understanding of why I'm like I am, God. Why I've been like this for the last couple of years, God? Why do I know hundreds of verses? Why I'm in ministry? Why I do what I do? You know, why I can speak in tongues and why I can do all these things, but I still don't have an understanding of why I keep making the same mistakes, keep being around the same people. You know? I need an understanding of why I do these things. Cautions, I warn you before you ask that. When he gives you that understanding, he expects a change. He said in Matthew one time, he speaks in parables so people can't understand. Why? Because their hearts are hardened. We don't want to hear that, but God sometimes don't give people an understanding of the mess that they're in because he know you're not even going to change. We get wisdom sometimes just to sit on the phone and talk about it. We get wisdom sometimes just to get into a meeting and discuss it. Until that wisdom starts to get deep down in your soul and it starts to apply in your life and starts changing, that's how we know you had an understanding of the wisdom that God given you. Get an understanding. Get an understanding on why your emotions are so disturbed. Get an understanding of why you don't respect your wife. Get an understanding of why you don't respect your husband. Get an understanding of why you don't respect the church. Get an understanding of why you don't like the word. Get an understanding of why you don't want to repent. Get an understanding of that. Before you ask God for any more wisdom, because it's only puffing you up. Do you feel me? I want us to start living life from an atmosphere that when our kids come up behind us or when the youth is around us, They feel like they can't live up to us. You say, like, I want us to start setting the bar so high in whatever environment that we in. Whatever situation that we in. That it really makes people uncomfortable. We've been trained to just get along and make everybody comfortable. When are we going to become radical? Your life is supposed to be radical. When you got saved, it was radical, wasn't it? That's the theme of your life. It's not just a one-time thing. Read the Gospels. Did you? It was just radical. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16 real quick. Let's go to. Give me a couple more minutes. Y'all ain't got nothing to do. Y'all be acting like y'all got something to do. I just messing with y'all. I read this verse this morning, and I had got something else, so I wanted to go back over it one more time and give y'all something that I seen in it. Something real quick. In Matthew chapter 16, and then I'm going to start at verse 13. And I know we already heard this verse plenty of times, but I just had got something else. And y'all probably heard it before, but allow me to reintroduce this verse. We represent and we praise Jehovah God. Okay, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. There's when you're walking this walk, I want you to know people are going to have all type of opinions about you. Please get ready for that. If you have a people pleasing spirit, you go have to get used to people having all type of different opinions about you. Some go say you this, some go say you that, some go say you do this, some go say you do that. I know, because they did it to Jesus, and he is our master, and we are no more important than our teacher. We the students, so we're going to go through the same things. People are not going to agree of what they think about you. Everybody ain't going to think you just lovely and perfect. It's not going to happen. Not if you go walk this walk. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So go on ahead and get prepared for that. Get your stamina up for that. You're not going to please everybody. Everybody ain't going to smile when you walk in the room. Everybody ain't going to want to say hi to you. Everybody not going to want to come to your building fund or ministries or come to your prayer session or come to your dinners. Everybody not going to want to do it. And you just going to have to be ready for it and not take it personal, Monica. Okay? Shout out to the 90s. Anyways, well, they replied, some say John the Baptist. Okay, we said that. In verse 15, then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Do you understand? You hear everybody else talking, but who is God saying that you are? What did God say you are? What did God tell you to do? What did God tell you to speak? That's the only voice that matters. Stop listening to these outside voices. You letting them creep up into your garden, Eden. Eve, come on. You letting a serpent creep up into your garden, whispering in your ear, talking about, that ain't what God said. Stop listening to outside voices. Because you like to be entertained. Listen to the sound behind the sound. Are they really talking this gospel? You're a soldier. See, a soldier don't get involved and entangled with all these affairs of the world. But check it out, though. But who do you say I am? Huh? That's what God, who you say I am, though? I hear what everybody on your job saying. I hear what your family members saying, but God say, who you saying I am? What's your Facebook saying who I am? What's your IG saying who I am? Yeah, when I walk in your apartment, what is saying who? What it say I am? Huh? What it say I am? See, because your life will tell you who you say he is. You feel me? God wants to know, who are you saying he is? And are you letting the pressure and the wisdom of this world change who you think he is? Are you letting the pressure, the lust, the greed, the power, the ambition of this world change who the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, say who he is? Are you letting your goals change who he is? Man, come on, let's keep moving. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, I want y'all to check out. There was 12 disciples. Only one spoke up. I'm here to tell you, you may have to be the Simon Peter in your family. You may go have to be the Simon Peter in your school. You may go have to be the Simon Peter at your job, the Simon Peter in your family. You go have to speak up and say, nah, he the Son of the living God. Do you know what? And I know it sounds easy right now, but do you know how hard that's going to be? Do you understand the atmosphere that we're living in right now? That the spirit and the God of this age has such a dark cloud around America that it's so hard for us to even announce the name of Jesus sometime? We call him God and higher power and energy and the man upstairs. Why? Because there's a force that's trying to keep our mouth from praising the name of Jesus. I guarantee you that I'm saying it right now, Jesus, and it's making someone uncomfortable right now in the midst of unbelievers. So he called them Simon Peter right here. Because in this conversation that he had with Jesus, he had three different personalities in one conversation. Because have you ever been like that? You can get so much revelation one minute and then become the devil the next. That's what your boy Peter going through. And I want y'all to understand, we're going to end this story off with Peter got wisdom and revelation, but he didn't get an understanding. So check it out. He said, "You are the Messiah." That revelation came down from God. Only God gave him that revelation. God gave him that revelation. Verse 17, Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." Do you see what the blessed test is according to scripture? He said, "You are blessed because you understood that I am the Son of the living God." That's what makes you blessed above all. That you have an understanding of who Jesus is. Let me say that again. What makes you blessed, my brothers and sisters, that you have an understanding of who Jesus is. That's what makes you blessed. You can lose your car, but if you still have an understanding of who Jesus is, you still blessed. Lose your wife, lose your husband, lose your children, lose your job, lose your money. But if you have an understanding of who God is, you are blessed. How do I know that? Because I read the book of Job. That was a blessed man because he understood who God was and lost everything. Don't tell me you blessed because you've been blessed by a pagan society. You know, no. You know, you don't fool me by being blessed by pagan societies and pagan universities and pagan jobs. That don't make you blessed. Truth be told, it puts you in more bondage than you ever expected. Hey, check this out though. It says, you did not learn this from any human being. Do you see? There's some things God can teach you that no human, no university, no pastor, no bishop, no human being can teach you, but God can teach you. When you have an understanding of who he is, when you come before him with a humble existence, he can start teaching you things. And then he says, now I say this to you that you are Peter, which means rock. Now he gave him another name. So first he was Simon Peter. Now he's Peter, which means rock. Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. I will build my church. God is not in the business of building individual ministries. God is not in the business of building individual goals and mindset. He's in the business of building his church. Why are you isolated from the church? If you want to be a part of God's building fund, a part of God's building plan, get a part of the church. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Could it be that you are being conquered because you're not connected to the church? That's just a simple question. Ask yourself that. Could it be that it's so easy for you to get knocked down? Could it be that sometimes when love comes around, it knocks you down and you can't even get back up? Could it be because you're not connected to a church? Could it be that you're so easily beset by sin and it heavily weighs you down because you're not connected to a church? See, there's power when you begin to get connected to the church. I'm afraid that this generation has ignored that and think they're above that. Stop ignoring what your ancestors built. Stop it. Repent of that mindset and get connected to the church. There's a covering. How do I know it's a covering? He said that all the powers of hell would not conquer it. Verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Now, it says in verse 19, when he told them, I'm going to give you the keys to heaven. And whatever that was on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. See, that's wisdom right there.
Peter is getting wisdom right now. But I want y'all to see the next couple of verses. He didn't get an understanding. Check it out. In verse 21, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it's necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he will suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders. Can I please let you guys know, in order to get the crown that you guys want, there must be some suffering. I know that word is taboo, but in order to walk with God, your flesh, your mindset, your will, your ambition, your goals, that sin, your desires may suffer. I said may. They go suffer. See how I tried to water it down? Because they go suffer. It's go suffer to walk with God in this economy, in this world. Well, I don't want to suffer. You don't want to walk with God. When Jesus said he was going to suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, that was the purpose of fulfilling the will of God for you, for me, for life abundantly. He had to suffer for us. Ask God to give your understanding of why you must suffer certain things. When I look back over my life and I can look in my 20s, I'm glad I suffered the way I suffered. I can look back and really appreciate the suffering times because I'm able to stand where I'm at now. I'm able to make better decisions because of my suffering. I'm able to say no to certain things because of my suffering. I'm able to discern certain people because of my suffering. See, suffering is good for you. Suffering is good for you. You don't need yes men always around you. Yes women always around you. You need some things around you that'll make you suffer. Make your will suffer. Make your flesh suffer. You've been telling your flesh yes all your life. Your flesh ain't have to suffer. Only time your flesh got to suffer is when you got some gas because you done ate some food. But God said, I want you're going to have to start making your flesh suffer to walk with me. You may have to get up a little early to pray with me. You're suffering. You may have to fast a couple of days. You're suffering. May can't go to certain places. You may can't wear certain things. Uh-oh. Yeah, can't wear that dress. Your flesh suffering. Because you done spent hours in the gym and you know everybody ready for summertime too. It's sundress season. God say you might that sundress may have to suffer this summer. Ain't nobody trying to hear that though. Them tank tops may have to suffer this summer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, them beach pictures, they may have to suffer this summer. Yeah, them vacations may have to suffer this summer. Mm-hmm. Taking IG pictures with your shirt off at the gym, my brother, may have to suffer. See? And when what happens, when that starts to hit the road, when that starts to come up in between your life, man, we turn away from God so fast. Because we ain't trying to suffer like that now. Nah, I ain't trying to do all that. I was just trying to, you know, get a little word here and there. You make me feel good, but I ain't trying to do all that. Nah, I ain't trying to do all that. But that's the part of it. In verse 22, it says, but Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him and saying such things, heaven forbid. Heaven forbid. Now, in verse 19, God had gave him a teaching of how he would be able to forbid things. This is what happens when people get wisdom without getting an understanding. They just run out with the revelation that they get and think they can just teach it without getting an understanding. Do you understand? So Peter got the revelation in verse 19. He got the wisdom. But all of a sudden, he using wisdom in such a wrong way. He's forbidden. He's trying to forbid God. He's trying to forbid the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because he didn't get an understanding. To my leaders, when God gives you something, you don't have to share it right away. You don't have to voice it right away. You don't have to preach it right away. You got to start training. Oh, this is going to be good. And I'm going to end off on this because, yeah, you got to start training and suffering your that need to be heard in this season in your life. Because you are a leader now. Do you follow me? You're a leader now. So when you get the revelation without getting an understanding, now that's passing down to generations. Because people looking at you as leaders now. This how we had got a whole generation of prosperity gospel people. Does God want us to be prosperous? Absolutely, yes. There's wisdom on that. But the understanding was off. And man, those preachers and bishops ran with that without no understanding. And look what we have now in the church. This is what I'm trying to tell you. My brother Peter got, wisdom from heaven. But quickly, without no understanding, told Jesus, I forbid you to go to the cross. I forbid you to suffer. This would never happen to you. Wisdom without understanding will have you prideful. Speaking in a tone that thinks you're right, Peter. And when you talk like that, I want you to know, because Jesus always looks at you in the spirit, you're acting like Satan. He went from Simon Peter to Peter, now to Satan. All in just a paragraph. Just that quick. That quick. Can get a revelation from heaven, but without understanding on how to apply it, can turn into a devil with the same wisdom. Because you're applying it in different areas in your life that God didn't want you to apply to it. You have revelation on love, but you've been applying love in all the wrong relationships. Revelation on how to get money, but have no understanding on how to spend it. Don't have an understanding on how to invest it. You're treating money like the devil. You spend money like the devil. That's not you. You're better than that. And from tonight, all of that changed. Wherever you at, wherever darkness is reigning in your life, I'm going to speak this right now over your life. Let there be light. That's it. It's light now. Why? Because God said it. And guess what? When he did it, it was good. He said it was good. Take it from that. You don't need nothing else. It's good now. Let there be light in your life. Whatever darkness that you're in, let there be light now. Let there be understanding now. I speak that over your life. I speak that into your minds. I speak that into your souls. And I speak that into the atmosphere that you're in right now. Let there be life. God, open their eyes and give them an understanding of the wisdom that you're giving them to live right now in this season, in March the 7th in 2024. They need wisdom and an understanding to apply it so we can walk this walk in victory. No more losses, my brothers and sisters. No more losses. Yeah, go ahead and dust that off, and let's walk in victory now. You are a leader now. To my young people, to my young guys, y'all getting baptized. I see you. Hey, y'all leaders now. Yeah, that's it. My young people, Tara. Y'all leaders now. Corey, Morgan, Antho, Teresa, Nathan. Man, y'all leaders now. That's it. It's no more. Oh, I don't know if you're a leader. And so your mind and your life has to match that now. The door of following, the door of being just a common, quiet person, that door is shut in your life. You came to the underground, and all God has me talking to is born leaders. That's all I talk to. So that door, if you just being another, I'm just quiet. I'm just, you know, I'm just a cool. I'm just this. I don't like to close. That chapter of your life is over with. You are a leader now, and God has high expectations for you. Too much is given, much is required. That's what it is now. So you need an understanding. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, y'all getting baptized. Absolutely. These are these three brothers, man, I met Sunday, and I'm going to be baptizing them. I'm going to get with y'all on that date, too, all right? I'm so proud of y'all, too. Very proud of y'all. You know, that's what I'm saying. Man, we leaders. So anyways, man, y'all know I wasn't trying to get y'all this whole buffet. I was just trying to get y'all a salad bar. I done gave y'all the buffet and gave y'all a plate to take home. But anyways, I appreciate y'all coming out to the underground, a place to hear the word of God before you go 6 feet underground. Man, who was that out doing all that preaching? Man, I ain't nobody. He's just the voice of one calling out saying repent. Y'all know the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I love y'all. I hope y'all have a proud, blessed week. Everyone, I know y'all personally. Y'all guys are doing great, big things. I'm so happy for y'all. Yeah, they getting baptized. My wife came here. Yeah, baptized. So I love y'all, man. Y'all stay up. Keep your head up. Keep your head up. Keep your head up. Love y'all. See y'all when I see y'all. Peace.